Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Kingdom Pursuits. My name is Danny Trogdon, and I'll be sitting in for Robbie today. Robbie's taking some well-deserved time off to be with his family, and he deserves it. So we wish him the best. I'm very excited to be with you today. I think we have a very interesting show. We're going to be talking about addiction and the real effects on people and their families and their friends. And we're going to be giving you some great resources, and I have some really fascinating statistics to give you as well. With me today is an old friend of mine from church, Danny Damron. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning.
Danny graduated from and is an advocate for Teen Challenge and Celebrate Recovery. I find that just awesome. And he also served with the Salvation Army Night Watch, and he ministered to homeless on the streets. I think that takes a special person to be able to go out in the streets and minister to folks, but it's so important. He also served with Rockingham Rescue Mission Ministries, and he ministered to those folks with physical and mental and financial needs. He's been a guest speaker at various churches throughout the triad, and I've had the pleasure of talking with him on many occasions. Danny, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm certainly thrilled to be here. Certainly thrilled to be here.
Great. Before we get started, though, Robbie always reads a riddle, and he asked me to put together a riddle for today, and I am awful, awful at riddles. And I'm so awful that I wrote this riddle, and I don't even know the answer to it. That's not true, though. I do actually know the answer to it, but only because I researched it. Okay, look, this riddle is from the NIV Bible, okay? And the reason I tell you that is because there's certain words in this. It's a rhyme, okay? It's a who am I rhyme. So I'm going to be reading this rhyme in the first person. So your job is to guess who it is. It's somebody from the Bible. It's from the New Testament, the NIV Bible. Okay, so here we go. I heard a voice I recognized, but didn't let him in. I ran like a crazy person and exclaimed to all the men. They told me I was out of my mind, but I insisted anyway. So when they chose to let him in, it turned out I wasn't cray-cray. Mm-hmm, that's right. And for those who don't know what cray-cray means, it means crazy, but crazy doesn't rhyme with anyway. So I said cray-cray. Okay, I'm going to read it one more time. I heard a voice I recognized but didn't let him in. I ran like a crazy person and exclaimed to all the men. They told me I was out of my mind, but I insisted anyway. So when they chose to let him in, it turned out I wasn't cray-cray. Okay, so please call in at 866-348-7884. You can also call in and speak with me or speak with Danny when we get going, but this is the number to call in with the first answer to this riddle. Wins a a 12 audio message CD set. It's Free Yourself, Be Yourself. It's Find the Power to Escape Your Past. It's really a nice gift. There's 12 messages in this set. So the first correct answer will win Free Yourself, Be Yourself, a 12 audio messages. And so call in at 866-348-7884 1-800-284-8884. And look, I'm going to give you a hint. Because I've read this to about four people, and only one person guessed it. So I'm going to help you out here. The hint, the person in this riddle shares the name with the person in this hint. And the hint is, I had my own sitcom in the 1970s. My own sitcom in the 1970s. So call in with your answer. First correct answer wins the 12 audio message CD set. So good luck, everybody. Okay. All right. So, Danny, let's get on the road with this thing. Why don't you tell me and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what brought you to the place that you are in your life today?
Be happy to. Danny, I was, I kind of started out my life, everything looked like it was going really well. Did the typical, graduated and went to, started a family. Everything seemed like it was going good. And I had, we were talking about this Bible here a few minutes ago about how ragged and worn it looks right now. Well, for about 20-some years, that Bible sat on our coffee table, and I picked it up probably about once a month maybe to dust it off, But anyhow, there's some trouble started in my life. An addiction kicked in, and it took over, and it destroyed me, pretty much destroyed me in a matter of a couple of years. The problem was I did not have the foundation of Christ under me to support me. I turned to alcohol.
That makes such a difference.
Yeah, it does. So I did not have that foundation to stand on, and literally it destroyed me. I found myself basically on the verge of being homeless. I was in massive debt. I'm sure you've heard of people that would that have blacked out before. Yes. I went through a 9-day blackout. And at the time, I was drinking about a half a gallon of vodka a day, which is pretty much a death wish.
Yeah.
You don't survive drinking that much. Mm. And so anyhow, I did my little blackout and ended up in the hospital, and I had a daughter come to me. Have a little trouble with this one, but I had a daughter come to me after I came out of
the
hospital.
Lift him up, Lord.
And I got three daughters, love them very dearly. And my daughter told me, she said, Dad, there's going to come a day when I meet the right man. Hmm. And I plan on having children. And when I do, if you're alive and something hasn't changed, you will not know your grandchildren. That was what broke me. Mm-hmm. At this point, I had two DWIs. I was facing 4 years without my license. I had nothing. I was on the verge of being homeless. I was living in my parents' basement. And frankly, they were getting tired of me.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, that was when I cried out to God. And I said, you know what? I'm not ready to die. And I don't know how to do this. I can't do it on my own. I need your help. And that's when I finally surrendered. That was my, as we in the addiction world call it, the rock bottom. You can't go any lower. But I have learned through this experience, there is no rock bottom in life other than death without Christ.
Mm, that's right. That is so true. What a great point.
Yeah. So that's when it led me to Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge, I consider that sort of the Marine boot camp of recovery programs. It's a very strict program. I voluntarily went. The state, because of the DWIs, wanted me to do a 28-day program. And I knew that I was in too deep for that. So I voluntarily went to a 14-month program. And so anyhow, it led me on. Sure.
Danny, hold that thought. I want you to keep on with that. When we come back, we have to take a short break. 3 minutes, very important break. You guys stick around, and we'll be answering. We got a couple of folks that have answer to the riddle. We're going to take those calls, and we're going to keep talking to Danny right after we come back. Stick around, everyone. right. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, everyone. I'm Danny Trogdon. I'm sitting in for Robbie today. He's enjoying some time off with his family. We're talking with Danny Damron today about addiction, about recovery, about the process, about the hurts, about the victories. And we're going to keep talking to Danny about that. First, we're going to take, we got a couple folks that are going to try to solve the riddle. So, look, we're going to go to David in Greensboro. Hey, David, welcome to the show. You got an answer for the riddle?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
From what it sounds like the Lord Jesus.
Well, that's a great guess, but that's not correct. That was a great guess. Thanks for calling in, David.
Well, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to go to Chuck. Chuck, how are you today? Welcome to the show.
Too good to be true, but don't tell anybody.
I won't tell a soul, I promise. You got an answer for me, brother?
We're talking about Rhoda, Acts 12:13. Peter came to the gate, and she went and told the folks without letting him in, and they thought she was crazy, but they found she wasn't.
Well done, my friend. That's correct. Rhoda is the answer. She also had her own sitcom in the 70s, too, didn't she?
I'm not sure that was the same Rhoda.
No, I don't think it was. Oh. Well, congratulations, Chuck. You've won Free Yourself, Be Yourself. It's a 12 audio message CD box set. I'm going to put you back to Jasper, our producer. He's going to get your information, and we'll get this out to you as quick as we can. All right?
Thanks, sir. Y'all have a good show.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. All right. Well, that was fun, wasn't it?
I like that. Very good.
Hey, also,
especially not the same Rhoda.
Not the same Rhoda, I know, right. But that probably wouldn't have even helped me. I'm so bad at riddles. Okay, listen, I also want to mention there's a terrific thing going on tomorrow, Sunday, October 6th, at the Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Spectrum Center. David Jeremiah is going to be speaking there. It's at 7 o'clock at Spectrum Center at 333 East Trade Street in Charlotte. And it's free to attend. So first come, first serve as far as the doors go. But David Jeremiah is going to be speaking there. It's his Everything You Need tour. Everything you need, which is Jesus. And I guarantee that's the answer to that question. Everything you need is Jesus. And David Jeremiah, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Spectrum Center in Charlotte, 333 East Trade Street. If you get a chance, go out there. Okay, Danny, you were talking and telling, man, it's so touching, a story. You've told me that story before about your daughter just coming to you and giving you some truth, man, that just opened your eyes, opened your heart, opened everything that needed to be open for you to see truth and for you to see the answer. Because you saw the answer was God, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned that I went through the Teen Challenge program, and one of the scriptures that I found that I still rely on tremendously is James 1. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever," it doesn't say if, "whenever you face trials of many kinds."
Whenever, that's right.
"Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let that perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete." And I feel now like this addiction that I went through was a gift from God. It was not a curse that was placed upon me, like I see other people that in the secular world, you know, they feel like they were cursed with an addiction. I feel like God gave that to me as a gift to train me to be able to work with other people now and try to help other people that have addiction problems. And it goes so much deeper than just alcohol addiction or drug addiction.
Right, and you can bring to the table an experience that you've had from rock bottom to victory.
Right.
And so, you know, encouragement is something that's very important to me. As I was coming up as a Christian, it was through encouragement in my life from various people, mostly men, encouraging me, enabled me to make the biggest growth spurts in my walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And like you, I have seen the whole spectrum of, I've dealt with addiction.
Yeah.
And
we talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so our experiences, your experience, Danny, you bring to the table, and you can encourage folks that are in the midst of it by saying, hey, look, I've been right where you are. I have walked in those shoes you have on your feet right now.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what, brother? There is victory.
There is.
And so you've experienced that. Tell me some experiences that let me ask you a question first. A lot of people, I've heard the term drinking problem.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, well, I have a drinking problem, but I'm not an alcoholic. So my question is there a difference between a drinking problem and alcoholism?
Danny, we're getting into a situation here to where this is my personal opinion.
Sure.
Okay. Different people have differences of opinion.
Right.
And I respect everybody else's. I mean, such as some people consider addiction a disease. Personally, I don't. Okay. But that's irrelevant to the ultimate goal of recovery, you know. But I look to the scripture for a lot of answers. Okay. Proverbs 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray is not wise. Galatians talks about, you know, the things that, you know, are obvious that are against the flesh, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, hatred, discord, jealousy, drunkenness. Okay.
There's a difference in drunkenness.
There's the point that I'm going for.
Yep.
Okay. You know, when it starts to affect your daily life and your mental judgment and your cognitive skills, it's becoming a problem. You know, for that, I don't have an issue with that person that can order a drink and sit in one drink, have one drink and set it down and be done.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't start to impair their judgment or their physical cognitive skills and things like that. You know, it's when you start, you don't know when to stop and it continues on and suddenly you're cursing your family. You know, you're doing things that you wouldn't normally do. And all of these things that it lists in Galatians are exactly the things that alcohol leads you to do because you're not using the right judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, suddenly, you might all of a sudden decide, hey, I'm going to leave that waitress a $100 tip. And the next morning you're wondering, where did that $100 go that I had in my wallet?
Man, I had $100 to buy some groceries today.
Yeah, really. You know, and so suddenly you're making these decisions that alcohol's impairing what you would do. And in Romans, it says very clearly, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, and in sexual immorality and debauchery, and not in dissension and jealousy.
Yeah.
And alcohol and addiction tends to lead you to do a lot of these things. You know, it just opens the door for you to do things that you normally
wouldn't
do.
It removes a lot of inhibitions.
Exactly.
You know.
Very good.
And,
good
point. Which can make life very difficult the next morning.
Yeah.
You know?
Trust me, I know.
So do I. So do a lot of people. What do you say to someone who clearly, you know, somebody that you're close to, that, you know, because there's certain circumstances that it's just not appropriate for you to intervene or to say something. But for someone who you're close to, a family member, a friend, what do you say when they clearly have an addiction, but they're not ready to admit it? I mean,
ultimately, it is always up to the individual to accept the fact that they have it. And what you're trying to do along the way is hopefully plant seeds that's going to get them to understand, hey, do you not remember what you said to me last night?
Does it help to keep getting in their face saying, you're an alcoholic?
Typically, in my experience, no. Getting in their face and screaming at them and preaching to them does not do the job.
That doesn't do anything.
It's, you know, they
that makes them more. That'll make them more rebellious in a lot of cases.
In a lot of cases, it
would with
it does.
Me because
because people then they're on the defensive,
right?
You know, so what you're wanting to do is show love to them, show concern. It's about them. It's not about you. It's not about, hey, you hurt my feelings. It's about, you know, hey, you are killing yourself. Mm. You know, and I want you to be with me for the rest of my life, or I want to remain to be your friend.
Yeah,
you know. Go back to the, you know, what did Jesus tell the disciples? They will know you are my disciples by the love you share for one another.
Love.
Not by getting in my face,
right.
Not by getting in people's face
right.
and telling them, oh, you're doing this wrong.
Right.
You know?
Right. Hey, look, we're talking with Danny Damron about addiction, recovery. Why don't you call us up at 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884. If you have a question for Danny, a question for myself, we're going to come back in 3 minutes. We're going to have a little more story, and we're going to have some stats, and we're going to have some resources for you to seek help and hopefully make a difference today. Okay, everyone, stick around. Okay, welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits. I'm Danny Trogdon. I'm sitting in for Robbie today. Robbie's taking some well-deserved time off to be with family. We wish him well. We're talking with Danny Damron. He's affiliated, or he's an advocate for Teen Challenge and
Celebrate Recovery.
Celebrate Recovery. And he was telling a story about his life and his victory, and I wanted to share a short story, because Danny shared something with me one time. I was dealing with a friend of mine that was dealing with a severe alcohol problem, and God put him in my life, and you know, I was burdened, and I don't mean that in a bad way. My heart felt the need to help this friend of mine in any way that I could. So I kept trying to encourage him to get help. I even offered to take him, and he was drinking to the point of blacking out. He was falling down. I'd see him one day, his whole side of his face would be completely bruised from falling down in his house. He'd wake up, drink from the bottle until he passed out at the end of the day. And it was so sad. And I didn't know how to help the man, and I was getting frustrated. And I was, you know, we're all guilty, or we're all suffering from the human condition. And part of that was, you know, I just didn't want to deal with it. It makes me uncomfortable. It takes me out of my comfort zone.
Absolutely.
And so I was feeling the guilt because of the way I was feeling inside, that, you know, I'm not helping him as much as God wants me to help him. I'm not doing the things God really wants me to do. And ultimately, Danny, I called you and I asked you to intervene and help. And by this time, he was already in the hospital.
He was in the hospital, and the nurses basically told me he's gone.
He's gone.
He's done for. Mentally.
Mentally. He's still
hurt.
Alive.
Yeah,
he's
he damaged his brain.
Yeah, from his falls.
And they said he would probably never recover mentally.
And he hasn't. He's still in a wheelchair, and he's living in a assisted living facility. But the thing I was dealing with, I was experiencing guilt because I was questioning myself, have I done enough? Have I done everything God wants me to do? And if I haven't, Is that the reason that this friend of mine is now in the hospital? Because I didn't do it all? And you shared a story with me, Danny, that changed everything and allowed me to have peace and know that I did, I obeyed and did what God asked me to do. Share that story.
I'd love to, Danny. And, you know, I've seen how, you know, you've been affected by this situation with this gentleman. And I see your heart for wanting to encourage other people and other men specifically. And I'm amazed at what I've seen with you. But the story goes back to Teen Challenge. I was 400 miles away from home, and it was the first year I had ever been without my parents or my children for Christmas. And I was 400 miles away from home, and I was serving on a program called Storefront. And at Storefront, what I was supposed to do, stand out in front of a store, very similar to a little store, like if anybody knows what Buy-Rite is in Stokesdale.
Yeah, right.
Just a little independent a little independent type grocery store. And we had a table about the size of this one right here and had a little box on it for raising funds. But ultimately, it was in training for teaching us how to witness the people and how to, you know, communicate with total strangers and what have you. So it had to be the month of December when they assigned this particular month for me to do. And so I was standing out here. I was regretting not being at home. I was really wanting to go home. There was, of course, Christmas music playing and people dressed in their, you know, outfits and Christmas outfits and everything. And it was really just turning the screws on my heartbrokenness about not being with my family for Christmas. But anyhow, and I've actually written a little short story about this. Was anybody listening is what I called it. And so I was really doubting because of this being the Christmas holidays and people being lonely and sometimes depressed. Were they really listening to what I had to say, or were they just, you know, they'd talk to a rock if it would talk back to them, you know? So anyhow, this particular lady came and she spoke with me we talked for probably 30, 40 minutes. And as she left, she had told me that she wanted to start getting closer to God, and she felt like that was some of the problems. I don't remember to this day what the problems were that she was having, but she felt like getting closer to God was, you know, and the first step was, you know, going back to church and starting to be around other Christians. And so she went in and she came back out about 30 or 40 minutes later, and she called me over to the side and she said, "Danny, I just want to tell you something. I guess you noticed I didn't donate any money." And I explained to her that that was not my purpose in being there. "That's okay. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I just, you know, hope that, you know, what we talked about serves you in some way." And she said, "No, I want you to understand, while I was in there, I was standing in line at the checkout counter, and there is a man and his child standing in front of me trying to buy their groceries with food stamps. And they didn't have enough food stamps to buy, and they were trying to decide what to put back. And I'll never forget what she said. And she said, 'Danny, we're not talking about beer, pretzels, and ice cream. We're talking about the basic necessities. So rather than you getting the money, I got my credit card, I bought their groceries, and I let them keep their food stamps.'" Mm. And as she was walking across the parking lot, the flesh in me was thinking, "Yeah, she's trying to make herself feel better. She's, you know, she thinks doing this one little act, you know, and then is she going to go home and do?" And it was like God tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Danny, I want you to understand. Quit questioning. This is how I work. I'm the puzzle master. Mm. You're just a piece of the puzzle. Mm. You may never know some of the people that I ask you to deal with. Mm. You may never know the result's going to be.
That's right.
And sometimes you have to let it go and let me take care of it."
Yes.
Don't take on that responsibility that each and every person is your responsibility.
Yeah. Danny, I tell you what, that made such a difference to me. In dealing with my friend, and I sure do appreciate that. Look, we're going to take a call real quick. Let's see. We got Tristan in Raleigh has a recovery story. What you got, Tristan?
Hey, guys. I just want to thank you for taking the call this afternoon or morning. And I am a Christian. I got saved when I was about 5 and rededicated my life to the Lord when I was in college. And something that I've had to learn through Paul's struggle when he was in jail is that, you know, I got clean back in 2005 and I had a relapse, and I've been clean now for about a year. And if it wasn't for God's presence in my life, I couldn't have done it. I had to learn the hard way that the more that my friends and family tried to intervene to help me, the more that they were actually hurting me. Mm. And they had to let me go for a period of time and say, how you choose to live your life is up to you. We're still here. We love you. But ultimately, this is between you and God and how you want to live your life. And so I had to come to a point in my own life and my own recovery that I just had to completely surrender. I had to surrender to, you know, to letting Jesus be the one to rule my life and letting him be the one to guide my steps. And I had to surrender to the process of letting him be the one to help me in recovery. Mm. And since I've been in recovery, I've learned that no matter what I do, Tristan. Yeah.
Hold that thought just a second. Let me put you on hold. We're going into a break, okay? I want you to finish your story when we come back, all right? So we're going to take a 3-minute break. You're listening to Kingdom Pursuits. We're here with Danny Damron. And stick around for the end of the show when we come back. All right, welcome back, everyone, to Kingdom Pursuits. I'm Danny Trogdon. I'm sitting in for Robbie today. He's taking some well-deserved time off to be with his family. When we left, we were talking to Tristan in Raleigh. Oh, well, we lost Tristan. Okay. All right, well, I wanted to, Danny, if you could, you say you've got a resource or some resources for folks with addictions and folks, family and friends that can seek some help.
Absolutely. There's thousands and thousands of them. There's an old saying, seek and you shall find. Yeah. I think technology-wise today, it should be Google and you shall find. Okay. Simply Google addiction recovery, and you're going to find hundreds upon hundreds of resources. My main thing that I want to say about the resources is you've got to find what's right for you. Okay, of course, there's the Christian side of it, and then there's some people that would prefer to have the secular side. You know, you've got like AA meetings and things like that. And then you go into, you know, some of the long-term cares, 28-day programs. I went into a 14-month program. I'm hearing a lot of good things about a program called Pierced Ministries over in High Point. I've seen people that have come out of that are now going into the mission fields and things. You know, the Christ-centered, you know, depending on how severe the addiction is.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what it, but the main thing is, if you're dealing with somebody that is dealing with the addiction, like you were asking, how do you talk to them or whatever, I suggest getting involved with a program called Al-Anon. Al-Anon is a program for people that don't have an addiction but have a spouse or a family member or a loved one that is, and it's for them to get together and share ideas, and, you know, there's a structured environment to it.
So is that like a website, Al-Anon.com?
No, it's actually meetings. It's just like an AA meeting.
Okay.
Okay, and they sit around and they discuss, you know, and they have a structured environment on how do you deal with the addictive spouse or the addictive child.
Oh, okay. So that's for the families.
Yeah, that's for the families of the addict.
I got
you. Okay. So now also, for the person that's looking for something, I've gotten involved with a program called Celebrate Recovery, and I've absolutely fallen in love with it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm actually starting some training next week to go into that. James 5 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Mm. Okay, now, the thing that's so nice about this and even the AA program is that you're around other people that can empathize with you. You're around other people that understand where you've been. You're around other people that are right now going through the through the process of trying to get recovery. And you've got people that have been sober or clean for 10, 15 years. You've got people that are there to help you through every step of the way, and they can guide you to, do you need to go to a 28-day program, a 9-month program like at Pierce Ministries, or a 14-month program? You know, so get involved with those people. They have the resources. They have the, you know, experience to help guide you through that. But in the meantime, Celebrate Recovery, the one that I go to is at Triad Church over on 68 near the airport. I understand there's also one here in Winston. I think it's Pinedale or something, a Christian church, and I know there's one up in Rockingham County. You know, great way for us to spend a Friday night. You go in, 6 o'clock, you have a dinner. They have a praise and worship. They have a short sermon. Typically, it's something about recovery. And then they have the small group breakouts. You know, but it's a great way to get to know people. And the thing I like about Celebrate is it's not just for addiction to drugs or alcohol. It doesn't matter. It could be food. It could be anxiety.
Right.
It could be
depression. All kind of
it could be financial problems. Mm-hmm. It's anything.
Sure.
And it gives you a Christ basis to deal with your daily problems.
You know, there's 21 million Americans who struggle with substance addictions, which is 1 in 7, according to the Surgeon General. 1 in 7. And alcohol and drug addiction cost the U.S. economy over $600 billion a year. And this is the really fascinating statistic. 88,000 people die as a result of alcohol every year. The Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte only holds 75,412 people. So that's one stadium plus 13,000 people dying every year from alcohol-related deaths. It's so sad. Danny, man, I want to thank you so much for coming in and helping me with this. Some great information, man. I love you. I love your story. And, you know, I just want to encourage you to continue moving forward, continue doing the work you're doing, that's what this show's about. Kingdom Pursuits is taking a passion and turning it toward the kingdom of God. And that's what you do. And I thank you for that.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity to come and speak and to share my story. I know that you were there the day that at Soldier and Church when they prayed over me and sent me off to Teen Challenge.
I sure was, man.
I hope I'm a different person.
You are, brother. You are. You're the same person. You're the same man with new purpose
visions
in life,
and
new visions,
right.
and a miraculous healing from God. Folks, thank you for being a part of this today. Thank you for listening and putting up with us, putting up with me. And I want to thank Robbie for letting me do this today. Thanks, folks. Enjoy the rest of your day. Peace.